Paul, on the occasion of this game tonight, the first two draft picks from last year's draft are going to face each other for the first time in the NHL. Could you talk a little bit about what's the difference between coaching a team with young players like we're going to see tonight, and you've done the other, coached an older team. What are the differences, the main differences?
Hope. Some of the things, and Eric Staal was a second pick overall, and he came in and he would almost accomplish what he accomplished, wanted to in practice. He'd almost split the D and he'd almost pick the top corner. And you knew though that day was coming. When it was, you weren't sure. And that's the experience with Patrick on the ice in practice and in games. The shots that he does execute in practice, the number of times that he scores in different places, you know that as he gets more experienced and he finds his holes on the ice, that shot's still going to be there. So hope, you know, with veteran guys, you're trying to kind of sometimes some of them wind that Volkswagen up to the highest RPM you can, but he's only going so fast. You're only going to get him to go so fast. But these young players that come in, and you know, we don't really talk about Nick Ehlers very much, but some of the young players that come in, you're left wondering really what the upside is because they can do so many things so well at such a young age.
Paul, in your two decades of coaching, is getting a power play righted an exact science?
Well, if it is, we're still looking for the exact science, aren't we? I'll give you an extreme example. Would have been our power play last year, finished 30th, but from January 2nd till Brian Little got injured in Tampa, ran third with about the same personnel. So we've got new pieces moving in. You'll see a one unit go out with all the kids on it, and I've got a lot more confidence and faith in what it looks like this year than maybe I did at certain points last year. I think the structure is better, the understanding is better. And put up 13 shots against Boston. Those are the ones that got to the net. We missed five other ones. So I like what we're seeing there. Some confidence, some quickness, all those things that go in when it's rolling. I don't think we're far off it.
Paul? But all the attention that's on line A, how much does that maybe benefit guys like Kyle Connor, guys like Nick Ehlers, who, you know, expectations are obviously higher with new season
there's
for him?
There's a certain weight that comes with those very, very high picks. They're going to draw an awful lot of attention. I will, for those of you from out of town, it's probably not the same here as where you live in terms of every movement on the ice and each practice. But it does. It allows other players to not have to deal with it. But those guys have to deal with it, right? So Austin Matthews and Patrick and these kind of players. It's not something really that you shelter them from a whole lot because it's part of their life. It has been coming in. Right? They didn't just pop on the radar as one and two. They've been dealing with this kind of pressure, and they will continue to deal with it their entire careers.
The youth in this team and World Cup obviously keeping you out of training camp for a little bit, other players out of training camp. How much can you attribute to those things for the start this season, and what you've been able to do or what you haven't been able to do maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't attribute it at all. I think we had a real good camp and felt strong about our game. Won the first one. We didn't love our game in Minnesota. I don't think LA loved their game in Minnesota last night either. And we liked the way that we played against Boston.
To your point about everything kind of being overemphasized and focused in a market like this.
Oh, I get it. You know, right. I mean, and that's what great stories are, right? These players, Austin and Patrick, demand your attention, and they've earned that scrutiny. They're great stories. I mean, I watched the Leafs' first game for that reason. And it was exciting and absolutely. And I usually watch every game that's played for 5 minutes, but I didn't. I watched the entire game just in case, sure. Certainly after two. Those are great hockey stories. So I get the scrutiny. I certainly wasn't thinking these kids are being overwatched. They're exciting as hell.
Seems like even those guys, but everybody in general, particularly the goalies, and I know that makes a lot of attention here. How much time should fans be waiting before they press a button or an evaluation on a goalie after one or two games in the season?
Well, they should do it after the first period. That's what being a fan is. You should be doing that all day long. I mean, what's the point? Get excited, get disappointed. It's the emotional roller coaster. We're going to be a little bit more patient than that. We've got two younger goalies, and we've got faith in both of them, and we needed to put them in a position to play in meaningful games. And yeah, we've got a young team, but I guess that changes every day. We get a little bit older, but that's who we are, and that's what we have to deal with. So we're going to put these two young men in, and really like Connor's game against Boston, thought he was good and solid, and Hutch is going to get a chance to do that again tonight, and we're going to play this year and have an expectation of really strong goaltending.
Paul, when you're talking about 18- and 19-year-old kids, in your experience, how much is learning the NHL away from the rink as well as what you guys are doing in practice and in games?
Well, we were just talking about that. Our kids are going to think the NHL is great because after this game tonight, we're going to play 17 games in 29 days, six sets of back-to-backs, and I think 10 time zone changes. So they're just going to come and play hockey. I don't think we're going to practice our hockey team for a month and a half. They're going to love this place, right? This is the easiest league in the world. You show up, they feed you great, you play hockey, and they don't practice you. So they're going to love it. It's a big part of it. I remember at the World Championships talking to a young star, asking him how he enjoyed his first year. He said, it was great. I loved it. But it was actually kind of boring because after all the guys went home to their families, there was nothing to do. It's a big part of it. Having a close group, huge advantage if you're not just talking about one or two kids. You've got a group of kids. They'll move together. You know, a little bit like a junior hockey team, they'll eat together and they live together. It also creates those bonds, right? They spend that extra time together. It's a real adjustment for them, for sure. I mean, they're away from home. A lot of these guys, yeah, moved away from home to play junior, but they live with a family. So it's the first time for a lot of them out of that structure. And there's some challenges that go with that.
Paul, Blake said that the game against Boston was a real building block. What do you think he was referring to?
It looked more like the way we want to look. You know, we hadn't had really the kind of offensive zone time, pressure, opportunities in the first two games that even last year with our team, we finished in the top three in the National Hockey League with offensive zone possession time. So we were in the other team's end an awful lot. Didn't convert on really high number of slot shots as well relative to the rest of the league. Our conversion rate wasn't very good. So it looked from the bench and on the video more like it's supposed to look. The result clearly wasn't what we had hoped for, and we want to finish a little better. But the cost last year for that zone time was odd man rushes. The number, the frequency, and the quality of rush against was very high for our team. I mean, we were a heavy pinching team. Quite a bit of risk in our offensive game. So we needed to take that out to move forward, and we've done a reasonably decent job of that, except to the point where we're trailing a game by two and our game opens up and then there's a reason for it. But we want to be able to manufacture that offensive zone time without the cost that came with last year.
It's early, but how do you envision Sean Mathias' role on your team?
Bit of everything, right? So he started with Brian Little. Brian played 2.5 minutes before he decided to take some time off. And so we're going to use him up and down the lineup. We have him killing penalties now. He did some net front for us on the power play. It's not just about learning one player and finding his role. It's how all those pieces fit when you've got four guys, five guys that, and I think we're probably seven here this year that really didn't play the whole year for us last year. Getting a feel for how they fit is sometimes as challenging as the individual, but he's going to play up and down the left side.
You talked about the pressure that comes with these top picks because they're so good, so talented, and go through junior and coming up through the leagues without the challenge that they're going to see in the NHL. Does it make it hard to see who is going to handle that pressure well and who isn't?
Well, they're going to handle different kinds of pressure, right? So when you score goals for the first night, now the shift has just changed. It's, are we going to score for the next night is the question that we're asking. If he doesn't score for the first 10, it's a whole different kind of pressure. So we're going to see these kids go through different kinds of pressure. Let alone the game will change on them over the course of the year. So once they figure they got this thing figured out by Christmas and that gear change happens, it's a whole different animal till the trade deadline, and then it happens again and again in playoffs. So we're going to see that pressure change, and then we just watch it very closely with all our young players, make sure we're getting a lot of contact, more, and I think make sure we have a fairly good understanding as a staff how they feel they're playing, what they're seeing, not just imposing our view of the game on them. They've come here very, very successful in a different style of game and a different style of defense. So they have to learn the NHL game. They have to learn the game that your specific team is playing, and they get to do it all against men. There's a whole lot going on for these young men. But at one point, that was probably true in just about all the other stages they passed, right? They didn't play in their pro league or their junior league as the oldest guy. They were probably the youngest guy there too. So they have some experience of what it's like to fight through that first year when, you know, maybe it's different here. I play them on the power play, but they weren't getting the offensive time. They weren't getting that. And then they earned the right to get it. Here, they're out there and they're learning the NHL game on minutes.
Mark Scheifele said he can see, he can feel the pressure that Patrick Laine is under because of the media attention. And
yeah.
He says he's very, very impressed with how he's handled it, how coolly he does it. Says you just can't see a rise in the kid. What have you seen?
Yeah, he works really hard. He's very competitive. He's not forgiving himself in the corner if it goes off the bar. He expects that puck to go inside all the time. He expects to score every time he touches the puck. But very, very humble. When you talk to him, really good conversations, really good perspective. I'm careful about talking to him too much. You want to make sure the players talk to him more than the coach does, so he gets to know these guys a little bit, but really impressed with the way he's handled all of it.